Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then. Belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all. Then reading from Matthew chapter 26. Well, I guess it would help if I turned to Matthew instead of Luke, wouldn't it? Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Jesus said, "Watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." And then from Matthew 6:13, Jesus teaches us to pray. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, send your spirit now. Bless the preaching and the hearing of your word to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Do you remember the cartoon of the Roadrunner and the Coyote? Yeah, we remember that. You know, the Coyote, he was all the time setting traps for the Roadrunner. He was trying to make the Roadrunner his dinner, but things always got flipped the other way. And it was not the Roadrunner who would fall off the cliff, but it was the Coyote. He's the one that always ended up in a cloud of dust. Well, we laugh about that, but do you remember the Coyote's name? Wiley. This name was given to the coyote by the writers because the coyote was always setting traps. He was always coming up with schemes. He had wiles to catch the roadrunner. It's interesting that it is the same word that the Holy Spirit uses in Ephesians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. The devil is like this coyote. He is all the time planning schemes against the church in order that he may eat the church for dinner. Peter says, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has promised that no matter how cunning the wiles of the devil may be, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Now, that does not resolve us of responsibility. That does not resolve us of being prepared for what the devil would lay before us. Paul, as he wrote to the Corinthians, even says, we are aware. We're aware of the schemes, of the wiles of the devil. And then he also wrote to the Ephesians, saying the same thing in verse 11 and in verse 13. We're told to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against the devil's wiles, against his schemes. When you were a child and you're getting ready to go to school, if your mom told you to take your rain jacket or take her umbrella, why do you think she would say that? It is because She was expecting there to be rain. The Holy Spirit, speaking through the Apostle Paul, tells you to put on the full armor of God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is expecting you to come face to face with the wiles of the devil. It is only the power of God that protects us and delivers us from the dragon. Yet we are called to make preparations. We are called upon to be aware of how the devil works. It is foolish to go to war and not know who your enemy is. It is a recipe for disaster. But what are the wiles of the devil? Well, last week I mentioned two of those. I said the devil gets to know your makeup. He gets to know you very well. He knows what you are inclined to do. And so he fashions his temptations according to your inclinations. Also, I said that it is the business of the devil to cloak his temptations in the cover of religion or virtue. Paul tells us that the devil appears as an angel of light. He appears as something good, as something virtuous. Well, today I want to give you more schemes, more wiles of the devil. When he comes to tempt, the devil is always quite modest. He's kind of a shy type when he first presents himself to you. If he presented himself to you, if he even presented himself to non-Christians as he really is, even those non-Christians would flee from him. So he doesn't present himself for what he is. Instead, he comes to you as something very modest, something shy. He knows that if he gets you to fall for something small, and then again for something small, and then again for something small, he's got you on the road for falling for something big. He comes to you and says, "Hey, bud, can you spare a moment of your time? Would you be willing to give your friend 25 cents every now and then, or would you be willing to, with no questions asked, simply to turn over $1,000 to your friend?" No, you see, you're more inclined to give your friend 25 cents because it's such a small thing as opposed to $1,000. And that's what the devil asks of you. He doesn't come to you asking for something great. He says, "Just give me a little bit of this and a little bit of that." But he's not going to stop there. He is going to move on. I saw a television program, and Karen, you would have liked this, where they were rescuing dogs, okay? And one dog was quite shy, and he was back up underneath some rocks. And so what the lady did, she fed him little pieces of food to coax him out, to get him to come out. And when the dog came out, then she got the collar around him. That's what the devil does. Gives you a little bit at a time. He whets your appetite for something. And then the chokehold comes upon you. Therefore, because Satan does not want to be suspected of laying a trap, he presents just a few general requests which do not reveal the depth of his plot. People don't become alcoholics unless they take their first drink. People don't become drug addicts until they take their first drug. Nobody takes a first drink with the hope, "Oh, I hope I become an alcoholic." Nobody takes that first pill with the hope of, "I hope I become addicted to this." No, husbands and wives. Sometimes they get divorced, and it's a sad thing. Satan knows how to get in between a husband and a wife. All he has to do is to get them to stop forgiving one another. And Paul tells the Corinthians that that's one of the schemes. That where you find unforgiveness, that's where you find the work of the devil. Unforgiveness. Oh, it's just a little thing. Unforgiveness. Well, it's just another little thing. Leading all the way to divorce. Adultery begins with a simple thought. The devil hooked King David with murder before he hooked him with murder. He offered him slothfulness and laziness. In the time of the year when kings go out to war, the scriptures say, David stayed in led David to become not just an adulterer, but a murderer. Satan did not just blatantly try to tempt Jesus. No. He comes to Jesus and says, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. See, that first temptation was not to turn stones into bread. It was to question what God the Father had said to Jesus. Because the very last thing Jesus heard before he went into the desert to be tempted by the devil was the words of God the Father. This is my Son, whom I love, in him I am well pleased. And so Satan comes with just little thing. Did he really say, if you are the Son of God? You see, he comes with a small, subtle temptation. Because it is his goal to get Jesus to not believe God's word and to fall down and worship. It goes from a small suggestion to a great suggestion. And oh, my friend, how many people have thought that they would never take one step with the devil, yet end up walking a mile with him? You know, the old story in the monster movies, Bela Lugosi as Dracula. The old story is you don't let the devil into the house. You don't invite him in. As long as he stays outside, you're okay. But once you invite him in, you're dead. Let us be careful not to invite Satan. Let's don't invite him into our home. Let's do not invite him into our heart. Because it may seem as something small to you, but Satan is smiling all the time because he knows it's going to lead to something great. Another scheme of the evil one is that he leaves off tempting for a while so that he can come back at a greater advantage. It is so interesting to look at the temptation of Jesus. And every temptation that the devil places before Jesus, Jesus whips him, beats him, temptation, the Holy Spirit writes for us that the devil left Jesus for an opportune time. The devil wasn't finished with Jesus. He was just going to come back at a more opportune time. The devil sometimes appears to retreat. But when he appears to retreat, it's because he's coming back. What did the scripture say here we read this morning? When the evil spirit has gone out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. What we have is a picture of a sinful man. Of a sinful man. But what he does is that he kind of has a moral reformation in his life. He's no longer going to be a drunkard. He's no longer going to chase women. Now he's going to be a good husband. He's going to be a good businessman. He is going to be a great citizen. Even though the man is looked upon as being a good, virtuous citizen, he is consumed now with pride, just like the Pharisees were. And thus now he's more wicked than what he was when he was convinced he was a sinner. All because Satan left for a little bit, greater temptation. The final condition of that man was worse than the first. By pretending to retreat and leaving off tempting for a while, there's this false security. We think we're safe. We think we are immune from the work of the devil. But you know, it is only in times of danger that we head to the fort. It's only in times of danger that we stay close to Christ. When we are at peace for so long, then our prayers begin to be reduced because we have this sense of security. He likes for you to have a sense of security in the wrong things. Not security in Christ. He loves for you to have security in the way your life is going. Because, my friend, when that happens, and you begin to leave off preaching of the word and the means of grace, that old devil, he's backing up because he's going to make a big run and jump right on you. That presumption of security is much like Pearl Harbor on December 7th, or New York City on September 11th. There was this presumption of security. And it was that presumption that led to not being prepared for what was about to happen. And if everybody falls away, I will be right there with you the whole time. See, Peter was presumptuous about his confidence in his own strength. And we know what happened. And it's interesting to note that right before Peter falls into temptation, there was a sense of peace with Peter because Peter is there with Jesus eating the Passover meal. As Jesus said to Peter, he says to us, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Fall not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And lastly, the strategy of the evil one, and I've already kind of mentioned it, is to get the saints to neglect the means of grace. God says, put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God. It is by the preaching of the word, the study of the word, prayer, the sacraments, the communion of the saints, that we fight against the devil's schemes. It was because the disciples had not prayed that they fell into temptation. Or maybe sometimes you think, well, you know, I've prayed and prayed and prayed about this, and it's just gotten worse and worse and worse. I'll just stop praying. There's no need to pray anymore. Satan loves to hear that. Sometimes we see ourselves as so unworthy to come to Christ that we leave church. We no longer have fellowship with Christians. Now, feeling unworthy, I mean, that's a good thing, and it argues for humility. But if you think that you cannot approach God because of your sins, that is a lie from the devil. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to lay it right out there for you. If you're living in sin, you need to be in church. If you're committing adultery, you need to be in church. If you have an addiction problem, you need to be in church. If you're bitter towards someone, you need to be in church. No matter what your sinful condition is, no matter what temptation you are faced with, you need to be in church because here is the antidote to the sting of the serpent. But the subtlety of the evil one is, well, Jesus, he might save some, but there are a lot better. Such a great sinner as you. Never think that your sins, your past, is bigger than Christ. Sometimes he tempts us with our work. Well, I'm just so busy, I don't have time to pray. True of all of us. I'm just so busy, I don't have time to pray. Satan loves to hear that. National Geographic. Special. I get a lot of illustrations from National Geographic. The lion has focused in on the calf. The calf's in the middle of the herd. So the lion has to try to separate the calf from the herd. Now, why do you suppose the lion is trying to separate the calf from the herd? You think he's trying to take the calf over here and have a birthday party with him? Or to do something good for the calf? No. He's trying to separate the calf from the herd because it is the herd that is the protection for the calf. And once the calf is separated from his strength, then he is devoured by a lion. My friend, God's word, church, prayer, the sacraments, they are your strength. And when you separate yourself from them, you're going to become a mule for the evil one. Paul takes it for granted that Christians will study the Word of God. That's why the Holy Spirit reveals to us in the Scriptures the schemes and the wiles of the evil one. The psalmist says, keep me from deceitful ways. Okay? How do I do that? He answers it. By teaching me your laws. Keep me from sin. By teaching me your laws, O God. Think about this. Heaven overlooks hell. Heaven overlooks hell. God can, at any time, tell you what schemes are being hatched by the evil one against you. Everything in hell lies naked before the eyes of God. The devil is God's devil. God is not fooled by anything. God made him and he knows him. He who makes the machine knows every bolt and nut. There's nothing that goes on in the war room of Satan that God doesn't know about. And God has revealed to you in his word what's going on. Therefore, get counsel from God. Read and study God's word. Again, the psalmist says, hide the word in your heart that you might not sin against God. How can a young man keep his way pure? But by living according to your word, it is God who shows us how to escape the wiles of the devil. Was it not Jesus Christ himself that said to Peter, Peter, the devil has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. And when you return, then you go and strengthen your brothers. See, Jesus knew what was going to happen to Peter. And Jesus allowed it to happen to Peter so that Peter would know Peter's weakness, and so that Peter would know, too, that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. How would Peter have known that unless Peter at one time had become a meal for Satan? Therefore, we've got to read God's word, be acquainted with the battle that is going on before us. You've got to cling to Christ. He is your king. Walk in his ways. Put on his armor. The battle is his. But he has enlisted you to fight for him. In the scriptures, you will see how Satan has fought against the church and has succeeded. King David, Peter, Paul, all of them, the patriarchs, all the prophets, all the apostles, succumbed to temptation. The scriptures reveal to us that these men of God lost in their battle with temptation. But the scriptures also show us how how Satan has failed. Peter, David, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all of these holy men, though they succumbed to temptation, every one of them became a great spokesman and a great soldier for Jesus Christ. See, the scriptures show us both. It shows us how Satan has prevailed in some cases, and it shows us how Satan has failed. And it shows us how he has done it with the same people. Well, Satan is not through. He's still working his wiles in the world, in the church, and in your life. The Word of God shows you, O Christian, the face of your enemy, the schemes that he lays before you. And he does this so that you may escape the wiles of the devil. Only by the Word of God can we escape. Read, study, pray. Do not neglect the means of grace. That is the way to escape the schemes of evil. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for your revelation in the scriptures of how at times Satan has succeeded, but at other times how Satan has failed. Heavenly Father, when Satan succeeds with us, give us a repentant, humble heart. And then strengthen us by your grace to stand against the wiles of the devil. We cannot do it on our own. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. O Heavenly Father, protect us and strengthen us by your Spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our worship as we stand and sing together hymn number 190.